has, for better or worse, put a bird-adorned version of Portland on the television map. After just one season, it's already IFC's most popular show, and season two, which premieres next week, has everyone from The New Yorker to The New York Times, so, okay, New York-based TV critics, talking about its creators Carrie Brownstein, Fred Armisen, and Jonathan Crissell. Bitch headquarters is in Portland, and in September I attended a Portlandia press luncheon that included a Q&A with Carrie, Fred, Jonathan, and producer Andrew Singer. And Kyle MacLachlan was there too, but unfortunately he was sitting too far away from my recorder for the purposes of this podcast. Although I did get a picture with him. Here's some audio from the luncheon, but be warned, everyone was eating lunch and there's a lot of fork clanging that we weren't able to edit out. Still, Carrie and Fred have some fun behind the scenes stories to share. Here they are.
I was wondering if someone wants to talk about how the show is different from last season, how maybe it's gelled or become more cohesive, maybe Jonathan?
Well, definitely this season we kind of honed in on what Portlandia is, and I think last season we were kind of testing a lot of different avenues, and we kind of saw this is what the show is, and I think it found its audience because it had a point of view, and it was about a place and about a time and people who are striving to do good, and so...
Is that how you see Oregonians? We try to do good?
Yeah. And I think people try to... It's a great community. And to have a show about... It's nice to have a show about a community, and but it's still just silly and stupid at the end of the day.
But it's not so Portland that it isn't popular in other parts of the city. I mean,
right.
Other parts of the,
we would
of the country.
Not, we wouldn't do... In Portlandia, it doesn't really rain. In Portland, it rains. But in Portlandia, it's a more of a universal city of leftists.
What kind of response have both of you gotten from the show, from people coming up who've seen it? What do they say?
Everyone's so nice, I can't even believe it. Everywhere we go in Portland, people of all walks of life, all ages, really are supportive. They have their favorite sketches that they like, favorite characters. It's really, really nice. And also, it shows that they've welcomed us into their homes, like as we shoot. Every business, every location they've let us do whatever we want.
So you feel like people are kind of in on the joke. I did wonder if you guys had sort of the discussion with some Portlander, like revoking your Portland pass or something.
No, it's the opposite. They gave us an extra backstage pass.
But I think more surprising for me and Fred was not here, but just elsewhere. I mean, actually, more people like traveling to Austin or New York City. Fred gets noticed sometimes
in New York
for Portlandia, not SNL. You know, and so...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So people think, oh, do people like it in Portland? Like, well, yes, but people like it around the country, and we've been... And that was more surprising. Just because you never know what people are going to think.
We didn't expect that at all.
Yeah.
Hurry this. You guys could film them really sexy cacao scene.
What?
The cacao scene?
What about it?
So what's it like to film it?
Well, we close down the set, have as few people in there as possible, because it gets pretty heated,
yeah.
Intimate, you know.
You know, it's so, like, we're wearing so much makeup. She has a mustache on. And it's so crazy that it feels like you're just in, it's like a twisted dream.
So did you guys save the feminist bookstore? Because you did the fundraiser for them. How did that go? Did it help?
I hope you're wearing well. They seemed very happy with
it.
Yeah. She brought up the, in other words, bookstore. They had a fundraiser to keep the business going. Which I can't believe. I feel like all businesses in Portland do well all the time. And I'm staying at the Pearl District, and there's so many little shops that I don't know how they stay in business, but they do.
Hey, Carrie, how the transition from your former life... Mm-hmm. Maybe current life too as a musician to sketch comedy, it seemed seamless, and yet they're two totally different things. Was that something you were always thinking about doing and just didn't have a venue to do it, or were like how did that happen?
No, I mean, I was never trying to make Slater-Kinney a joke band or like
right.
Infuse any of that. I don't think that To me, it's just all performance based. Music is very serious for me, and so this, I don't know, the show was just a different outlet, but it didn't seem like night or day, you know, compared to each other. Like, it's still a relationship. You know, people ask about characters, how do you come up with characters? It's like, every character is a relationship between Fred and I, and we start there, and we go backwards from that. And then we figure out who the people are. We don't start with, like, this broad idea of, like, who's this person we can make fun of? Like, that never exists. It's just, who are Fred and I? How do we relate to each other in this piece? So the music and the band, those are relationships, you know, and both of them are very organic relationships. And so in some ways it felt very similar. It's Fred and I, like, and John and whoever else is in the scene, you know, doing this dance, like improvising, figuring out moments of spontaneity. So in that sense, it's very much the same. It's just the end result is different and your intentions are different.
How much do you take into account things that are really kind of in the news in Portland, or things that kind of rise to the surface here and get people talking? How much does that factor in?
You know, we did have one sketch that was very topical, but it has to start with a funny idea, and we're not trying to do a topical political show. You know, some of these themes have been around for 20 years. That's why my parents watch it and they like it. You know, it's like, we're not trying to be right in the moment, but we do talk on, like, you know, social trends, I would say, more than topical news. Like, we said, like, SNL, that's a, you know, weekly show. You're going to be right on it. This show's going to come out in January. We're going to have missed the boat by the time it comes out. Trying to make it as timeless as possible. So, it, you know, somebody could watch Discover the Show 5 years from now and still be relevant.
Can you talk a little bit about the guest stars they'll be seeing in the new season?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, talking about Carrie's history in bands, like, I've noticed a lot of bands have someone who's funny in them, you know, who's like, yeah, so just generically, I think I've seen a lot of musicians over the years who are, like, super funny people. One guy in the band who cracks everybody else up, those people are on the road, they're watching Portlandia, you know, and those were the people who are easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, like, Portland musicians, but also
they're
musicians from all over who are really funny people, and have just, you know, they mostly do a serious band, but then, so we got a lot of cool people that I think are going to be kind of cool to see be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
That no one's ever seen act before, but, like, that it's going to be cool, I think. And that's what the whole show, to me, is a little bit about. It's a more musician-like, not a scripted sitcom thing. It's like, this is open for funny people who couldn't really figure out how to be funny in a structure. You know, they cracked up their friends, and everyone's like, that guy is so funny, but then it's like, well, that's for 7 people. But this show, I feel like, has a structure to get the funny out of people like that. And I feel like that's why this show works so well.
But that's probably the way you direct it, right? I mean, you've got, like, 3 cameras going, and and you'll do take after take, and you're giving them direction.
Yeah, and it's leaving it loose, so it's like you can discover each individual person can bring, this is what Kyle does, bring why they're so funny to the piece. They don't have to fit into our shoebox. You know, pigeonhole you, this is what we want you to be funny in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can bring their own thing and relax into it. And then we're getting, like, the greatest, like, a lot of awesome performances. Because they can click in, like, I would say, like, Aubrey Plaza, when she came last year, I said, Aubrey, can you do it this way? And she was like, well, this is how I would do it. And she did it her way, and it was perfect, you know. So everybody gets to really find why their little class clown perfect thing.
Well, what did you learn from last season, from seeing last season's shows? What lessons did you then take away from that and apply to this season?
I learned a lot of the time the funniest thing is something that I can't even see while we're shooting. It's only later looking through that's like, oh my God, that. And when you're on set, the funny things almost don't work later. So it's like just remembering that, like, that's, it's really hard to know, like, oh yeah, we got it, when you gotta sift through it later and just really put two things back to back, it creates a whole new joke, you know. So
how long does it take you to edit?
It's extremely intense process. Which last year ended at my house for a month. All night. You gotta just really sit there with it and just watch it again, watch it again. Okay, now we've got a new structure. Let me go back through and mine for different reaction shots and different things. So it's really rewriting it at that stage. Now you've got all these lines and, you know, this way and this way and this way. And then you kind of go, okay, let's parse this, you know, get this down and down and down and down. And so sometimes you have to lose stuff that's really good. But hopefully as a piece, it starts getting more cohesive and, you know, just really good.
Well, Fred and Carrie, you like, dominate the show, and you're in almost every scene. And how do you keep it fresh and keep your creativity going when you're working, you know, long days, demanding hours?
We don't think about it too much. It just happens, and we're happy to be on set. And, you know, the characters change from half day to half day. So we put on a new wig, and all of a sudden we can't even remember what we did in the morning. I don't mean that in a sort of, like, pretentious, like, we can't remember. But it just goes so quickly that we're having a good time, new set of wigs, and then all of a sudden we're in a different scenario. I think it helps that it's all on location. I think if we were on a soundstage, it would feel like we're at this job. But we're always moving to some house or some coffee shop, and that, for some reason, tends to make your brain think we're a whole new thing.
Yeah, I don't think the feminist bookstore would work on a set.
No.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Or the Deuce Hotel.
Yeah.
That actually was a set.
Was it really?
No, but we built
it. It was a real place, but
it was like a library or something.
Yeah, it was in a hotel, one of the governor's
but
hotel.
We built a whole thing upstairs. But all that stuff has to, yeah, we keep it moving.
So from a style and sort of location perspective, I know that you've said, you know, Portland is not Portlandia, but they have shades of Portland.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear both, as people, sort of your perception of sort of what local Portland style is to you, or what parts of it you sort of embrace, but then also how you transfer that, you know, take shades of that, and then how do you make that into sort of a visual scene for Portland?
Well, I feel like the whole show is like, I want the... It's a style... It's a runway. I mean, it's a fashion style piece. It's rich with, you know... I want things to look good, and, like, I want the characters to be full, and, like, we really go into, like, these got to be some pleated... Fred was wearing pleated shorts yesterday. And no offense, but, like, that is a very specific thing that, like, a certain... You know, we're hitting every generation of Portlanders. The campers, the hikers, the hippies, you know, so it's, like, it has to be dialed in, and our costume designer did win an Emmy for last season.
Yeah.
And she's getting those things, you know, like... Shooting on location, the real places, the real clothes, the real this, you know, there's an authenticity to it and a lived-in quality to the characters. They're not just wacky, over-the-top characters. They're, when you see them, like, I know so many times these two, this season, not even as much last season, came out of the hair and makeup, and everyone's like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. I know, and they're, we try to get really the real, so they aren't cartoon characters.
It may even help that the show has a limited budget in a way, because the constraints of that make a man, like, the costume department has to work within the confines of what is accessible. Sometimes you watch slickly produced shows and all the characters look too well dressed and too good looking to even look like it's relating to real life.
Yeah.
So thrift store is what you're saying.
I think she's hit all kinds of things. And a lot of gray hair. I found that a lot of people, and I think it's a nice quality about Portland, and specific to Portland, is that people really let their gray hair fly at all lengths. And I think that's a sexy thing, you know, to own it.
Yeah, very early on, people go gray and embrace it, and then...
It's just
probably the lack of time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then women keep their hair long and gray, which is...
Yeah. Which is great.
Don't see that all over the country.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. I like it.
I know you guys have a lot of local people working on the crew. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's become a family, these people. This show is a special thing. It's so small, and everyone's friends, and it's a on-set demeanor is sometimes I'm like, guys, we actually are doing a real thing here. Like, so many jokes. Everyone's got good ideas, and it's relaxed. And if Portland did make a show, this is how it would be made. You know, it's totally right, and it's not. We didn't come in like, okay, guys, this is how it's done. And, you know, like, it's like, yeah, we embrace the people, and like the local actors, I would say, are mind blowing. I have a friend who's producing a show in Orlando, Florida right now. He said, there's no good local actors here. There's not one. And I feel like the caliber of people here is the best I've ever seen.
But, like, you've given them, not given, they're in featured roles because they're great.
Yeah, we've actually
handed over, like, great, that's perfect. You know?
Yeah, we've chosen them despite IFC's wishes. We said, no, we'd rather have a local person in this.
Because of that cartoon character aspect, I don't want someone to come in and play, oh, look, I'm a super important, you know. I want the real person. And it grounds it, you know. Because I want the comedy to come from out what they're saying and what they're doing, but not from, like, you know,
what they're imitating.
Yeah, I don't want to make fun of anything. That's not that funny.
And you brought back some of the characters.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You literally brought back every
really?
Actor
yeah.
from last season
pretty
that was
much,
featured.
Yeah.
I'd say 99% of them.
Yeah. Because like The Simpsons, we wanted to create that there was a universe of Portlandia.
Thanks for tuning in. Bitch Media is a nonprofit organization, and we rely on your support. Please visit bitchmedia.org/donate to find out how you can get more involved.